your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Any time I've wandered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. And I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, and once again I pour out my life. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. Out today. And many times gifts of life, I'm in the place once again. And I'm in that place.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please clap for Jesus Christ. Clap for Jesus Christ. Thank you, choir, for that lovely song. It's a great privilege for my wife and I to be invited on this occasion. We are very grateful to be back to Glory Tabernacle. We are grateful to CMF for bringing us to continue to see what God is doing in these days. I am very humbled, actually, without any exaggeration, to be in this kind of gathering with the hosts of ministers of God that are here, and then all of you gathered in this place. And when I was listening to those who have spoken here, particularly the international director of CMF, I was saying to myself, what shall I say again here? Because the whole story has been told. It's the story of the gospel that has continued to spread all over the world. Amen. Actually, as I thank the general pastor also for allowing me to speak on this occasion, I have to accept the fact that I have a kind of knowledge that Elder OK is supposed to be speaking from the roster we have, and has graciously agreed that I should also speak on this occasion. We have spent some time, and I want to remind all of us that we are living in the last days. And whatever we are saying or doing must be in the context of the end time. And I want to, before I pray and read some scriptures, remind us that despite the fact that Christianity has been watered down and a lot of confusion in the body of Christ today, Christianity is still real. Christ is still real. When some people were being introduced yesterday at the international headquarters, something touched me. When the leader was introducing some people, I mentioned one of our well-respected pastors, a female pastor, how they grew up from secondary school level, and they were friends. You know that word, friends. I have continued to be friends, very close. Only people in those days will understand. The kind of Christianity that we have now don't even know the meaning of friendship. Everything is abused. Everything is misunderstood. Because the purity of heart is no more there. I don't know whether you are following me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. People don't know the meaning of love anymore. Anyway, I want to say that people like Leah Sharibu understood the kind of Christianity we are talking about. And that's why all those people were leaving and going back in that kind of drama they did that time. And they gave her one condition. Just deny Christ and you will join others and have your freedom. And she refused. That Leah Sharibu was 19 years yesterday. Some of you might have known that. 14th May is her birthday. She was 19 years yesterday. And as a matter of fact, I think by 6 o'clock today, there will be a special virtual meeting where people will be praying for her and thanking God for her life. But you will see that just on Thursday, that last week, another great, terrible, horrible event occurred in this country. And incidentally, that girl that was killed in Sokoto, some people call her Deborah Samuel, but her name is actually Deborah Emmanuel. But whatever the name, her name is Deborah. She was one of our leaders of FCS, Fellowship of Christian Students, in that school. And what crime did she commit? Somebody said, "Is Jesus so that helped me to pass the exam? Is Jesus so?" And then they took it off from there. Okay, you should not say Jesus. And I'm happy that many people, you see, when we hear things, we just let it pass by. But I'm glad that some Christians and Christian leaders are taking that matter very seriously with the government and with some international bodies. We can't continue to leave these things lie low. And we are evangelizing. We are doing mission work. We are doing this and that. And society is not impacted as much as we like. Anyway, we are told that evil will continue to multiply even in the last days. But our love should not grow cold. But I'm putting some of these things as the background to what I'm going to say later. Because we don't preach in a vacuum. And that Deborah Emmanuel has become another Christian martyr in our own time. Showing us that Christianity is real. When people are messing about, doing all kinds of rubbish, they're doing all over the place. Thinking that Christianity is just gathering and singing and, you know, I belong to this denomination, I belong to that denomination. When the life is not changed, something is wrong somewhere. Something is wrong somewhere. Gone are the days when we should bury our heads in the sand like ostrich and pretend that nothing is happening. Every time we get messages of our dear young people there over there, especially in the north, who are being married off 13 years. In fact, another one happened the same last week. A girl of 13 just left his parents. His parents are Christians. Just to visit the extended family, for that matter, who are Muslims. By the time she went there, they captured the girl and gave her to Seriki and they married her off. The same extended family, 13-year-old girl. And things like that are happening almost on daily basis in this country. You know, who will report? Thank God that we hear a few things because of the social media. But apart from the social media that you cannot see, unless you have direct contact with some of the leaders over there, you will not know what is happening. And now, even in the southeast, as we live here, maybe on Tuesday, we are not sure we are getting to our home because they say there is something like sit at home. Maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We are not even sure where we are going to stop yet. That is Nigeria. Somebody said there was a country called Nigeria. And recently, last week, somebody also said there was a country called Nigeria. I don't know what you think about this nation. But all these things are running up and down, talking about 2023. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. For the entrance of your word gives light. Quicken us through your word. Direct us by your word. Empower us by your word. Heal us by your word. Stir us up again, O God. Let that fire come down through your word. Because your word is like fire, it's like hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. Speak and let us hear. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to talk on what I call the priority of the Great Commission. The priority of the Great Commission. And I don't think there's any other thing I can even talk about in this kind of setting. Let me read again the well-known passage, Matthew chapter 28, from verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, from verse 16 to 20. I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age." Amen. Let me quickly read Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, from verse 14 to verse 18. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they sat at table, and he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Praise the Lord. Great words from the Master. The priority of the Great Commission. And the first thing I observe here in the two passages I've read is that he was speaking to 11 disciples. Not even all the disciples that had come to be following him. Not the crowd, and not even all the disciples. At the very end of his life here on earth. And this was after the resurrection. This was close to his ascension. He said these things to the 11 disciples. And the other thing that amazed me here is that even among these 11 disciples, according to Matthew's gospel, some still had doubts in their minds. And Mark here, Mark's gospel, said that he was still trying to reprimand them. He upbraided them because of their unbelief. Something was still wrong in terms of their depth of understanding, their maturity, their faith in the Lord, the risen Lord at this time, for that matter. And it's important for us to take note of some of these things so that we are not completely taken aback when we begin to see certain things in Christianity and things happening even among leaders in the Christian church. And it's only the grace of God that can continue to give us the grace of obedience Continue to give us the revelation to know him and to remember what our pioneer general pastor of blessed memory, Dr. Uzodinma Obed, always said and sang in the song, there is only one life to live. And that one life, some people don't know it, that there's nothing like incarnation. You know, just as some of us have finished somewhere and retired, any mistakes I made there now, I cannot go to repair it. We have to be very careful on daily basis how we live our lives. And some people still don't know that there's only one life, which you don't know when it's going to end. And why I refer to this is that if this one life you are called to live, in whatever capacity, in whatever position, with your trainings and your giftings and so on, is not connected to this great commission, then that life is a life without purpose. That life is a life without meaning. Because wherever God has placed you, in the school, in the university, in the hospital, in the business world, in mission work, and so on and so forth, and you are a child of God, he has placed you there so that through you, the work of the kingdom will continue to expand. And if you separate whatever you are doing and wherever you are from this great commission, this thing that the Lord told us before he left, then you're on your own. You are doing what you like. I was wondering myself, you know, just thinking like a child, why is it that he was not warning them again here to watch and pray, which I told them earlier on? Why was he not encouraging to make sure that they fellowship together? Why was not he not telling them some other things? He gave them this as a charge, because that's why he came. He came and died, that sinners might be reconciled to God. That's why he called them to be fishers of men. And he didn't want them to have any distraction. He didn't want them to have any diversion. Even when you are pursuing genuine means of livelihood, even when you are meaningfully engaged in one thing or the other, the central thing for a child of God is that the kingdom agenda must be number one. And he said to them that, in the context of that, I want to say three things quickly before I see how I can round up. One of the things that encouraged us many, many years ago is the first statement in that Matthew chapter 28, where he said to them in verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Well, I know some older versions may say all power. It's all right. But the word exousia there is really authority. And let me tell you, this is not, you know, when he sent them out, the 12, and then later on sent out the 70 or the 72, according to some versions, he gave them authority. But now he's not talking about the authority he gave to them. He said he himself, the risen Lord, all authority, wherever that authority is found in the universe, had been given to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! That is the confidence he shared with them. The confidence he shared with them. A Christian can never be timid. A Christian can never be afraid if really something has happened in you. I don't mean that, you know, the instinctive fear, you know, that. But no. A Christian should be as bold as lion anywhere at any time. Wherever you find yourself. You cannot see evil as a civil servant and you keep quiet because they will sack you. They have sacked so many people and those people got promoted elsewhere. We have no stories to tell now about all those things. But people have testimonies. The confidence, say all authority. Because now in my own kind of place, I don't know about this area. As they do what they call revival of culture, there's a revival of satanism, idolatry. And it's so easy for, you know, children of God to begin again to drift into all these things. Or even to see a masquerade on the way and be afraid of those masquerades. Why so many years ago, okay, well, let me leave that matter. But there used to be a time when masquerades, we know that some group of Christians are at the corner of a market preaching the gospel. They will take another route to pass. Are you following what I'm saying? What is all these, their charms and juju or whatever? What are those things? You know. The confidence he shared. So I want to bring this to us again. That this person we are talking about, who is sending out the believers, not unbelievers, I may come to that if there's time, is telling them that this is the one the Bible tells us that his name has been lifted above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow. That he is far above all principalities and powers. That's how also how it is put in Ephesians. You see, and everything has been made subject to him. This is the one we are talking about. Not any kind of babalawo, not any other kind of name you call anywhere. Not any founder of any kind of religion. Not the spirits that come out from the waters or from the forest. We are talking about God incarnate, Jesus Christ himself, that came because of his love for us. All authority. So as we go back to the villages, go back to the towns, go back to our place of work, let us bear in mind that the one who is in us, if indeed he is in us, the one who is asking us to do the right thing so that sinners will be saved. Don't be afraid to talk to any sinner, no matter how highly placed. Don't be afraid to talk to any politician. Don't be afraid to talk to any Kabiesi or whoever, because we have him. But whatever we do with politeness, we do with gentleness, we do with love. Then, before I come to the content of that commission, look at how he closed the statement, the charge. He said, "Lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Behold, I am with you to the end of the world." I am with you always. That's what Jesus was saying there. I call that the companionship he has shared with us. One of the things I remember about Phil Osborne, I say it sometimes in some places. Phil Osborne was somebody that did not speak for a very long time in crusades, even his cassettes and so on. Did not go with all these gimmicks and all the things that people are doing these days. And what he was emphasizing was not the gifts that God gave to him, although there are gifts of the Holy Spirit. But he made it very clear, which any biblical scholar can explain, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not our private possessions. Something you put in your pocket and bring out anytime you like, no? And so, T.L. Osborne was always emphasizing, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. It's Jesus who will do it. Not that he had gifts of healing to open the sight, open this and open that. No, no, no. He was always saying, Jesus is here. That companionship, as you go into the villages, as you go into the towns, as you go into the colleges, as you do school visitation, which some people still do, I hope, you know, and gather them and talk to them in the assemblies and so on. Know that Jesus said, I am with you. In cases of impossibility, in healing the sick, in casting out demons, in whatever it may be, because he said it's going to be in his name, not any other way. Not any other way. We are living in a generation which is not a hidden secret now, because some of them are confessing, saying it openly. We are people who will set up signboards. Not all these well-known sects and cults, what we call Christian sects, in quotes. But they will pretend to be either charismatics or Pentecostals. They pretend. Put up one signboard. But what they are doing there is that they have gone to one native doctor or somewhere and gotten some of these their so-called powers and are confusing people here and there, which is very unfortunate. But if you are a child of God, indwelled by the Spirit of God, you know that Jesus said, I am with you. And he's there to glorify himself. He's there to honor his word. Not that any of us should take the glory at any time. Praise the Lord. The confidence he shared with us. The companionship he has promised. And then the commission which he gave. Let us look at that very briefly. That commission. That commission also reminds me of a book that our pioneer general pastor wrote in 2006. That book was published. Restoring Apostolic Discipleship in the 21st Century. If it is out of print, I will request that that book should be reprinted. You see, Restoring Apostolic Discipleship in the 21st Century. He wrote it because at that time, even before that time, there has been this problem that in Africa, we are very, you know, I mean, Christianity was spreading, that people like Professor Andrew Walls, Professor Jenkins, and others, people from the West, we are saying that Christianity has moved to Africa, to Asia, to Latin America, that is no more American thing or European thing. And that was the truth, that there's a shift, that people are getting to know Christ, you know, and so on. But what is the depth? It was still very shallow indeed. And the missing link is this discipleship. And that's why Dale Moody had great crusades all over the place. Billy Graham had crusades all over the place. And in this country, I've been having crusades all over the place. But how many people continue in the life? It's a great challenge. These things we are saying, let me just mention it. The content of that great commission, the commission he gave to us, is one, the preaching of the word. Preaching, proclamation. No matter what we talk about, John Stott said that preaching is very important. Preaching, we must say it, we must speak it out, and tell them exactly, explain to them what Jesus did for us. I don't want to pretend that because we are all CMF here and all Glory Tabernacle here and all ministers of God and people who have come from different places, There may be one or two here who have not understood. What are we really preaching? Is it that we are preaching the Bible and telling Bible stories? They are very important. They are very important. But this is more than historical document. This is more than something about geography, where the, you know, Jerusalem is and where Babylon was and all those things. This gospel is that man sinned right from the Garden of Eden. Please, I want to do that very quickly. When man decided to listen to the devil instead of standing by the word of God, man fell. That was the fall of man. And God came and not only pronouncing some kind of punishment, because I won't call it judgment, but he also made a promise that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. What a wonderful God, a loving God. And the story continued like that. The Jews lived with the expectation of a Messiah. And at a point when they were under the Roman Empire, they were thinking that, okay, this person will deliver them from the hands of the emperors. But when he came, you know how he came. He was born in a manger, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, John was the person who did not even talk about the human birth of Jesus. He said, John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, he came and became flesh and dwelt among us. That is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you honestly, many people in different places, through their philosophies and ideologies and theosophies and what have you, have believed all kinds of things. And these things are working for them. We are not saying that the devil has no power at all. They think that they have revelation, they have knowledge. But these are all deceptions of the devil. It's an illusion, in fact. Anything you see in secret society is an illusion. I can tell you that because we are there and we are not there anymore. So, the gospel is that if you say you have not sinned, you are a liar. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all born as sinners. And when we started growing, we started seeing certain things. You may not have committed terrible sins, yes. But in our thinking, in our everything, we are all rotten. That is what is called the total depravity of man. We are rotten from inside. And there's nothing you can do about it. Man cannot save himself. Forget about yoga exercises. Forget about transcendental meditation or whatever they call it. Forget about all those things. It's not holy water. It's not holy oil. It's not removing your shoes anywhere. Man can never be holy until you are cleansed through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is the simple gospel that we believe. We accepted it. And immediately we saw miracles in our lives. Thank God that you may be going to church very strong, committed, and all those things. They have made you one officer. They have made you this and that in the church. But if you have not repented from your sin, that is what is called besetting sin, still holding you. It becomes a bondage that must be broken. And as you hear the word of God today, that bondage will be broken. Amen. You can be set free, yes. It takes humility to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I know I'm a sinner. Something is wrong with my life. Come into my life. And when you say it with the prayers of Christians here in this church, the Spirit of God will take over your life. I say the Spirit of God will take over your life. Amen. Preaching the word of God. Then second thing in that commission is preparing the people of God. Preparing. Whether you talk of baptism there, or whether you talk of teaching them, and so on and so forth. As they are brought in, then they are prepared. They are prepared. That's where they begin to learn what builds character. The meaning of love and gentleness and meekness. they begin to learn what it means to forbear, to forgive, and so on. You know, they begin to learn so many things, preparing them to live here and to live hereafter. That is part of that content. And many things can be said there, but we don't have time because we are not in a seminar here. Let me very quickly say that the next thing there, the third thing there, is positioning them and equipping them for service. We are talking about acceptable sacrifice and service as a theme this year in this Glory Tabernacle. You don't talk of acceptable sacrifice and service without death. This death is no more the death of Jesus Christ. It is that we must die ourselves. Bayo Fomonore, now known as Uncle Bayo, wrote a book many years ago, Training to Die. It's a book on discipleship, Training to Die. Any Christian who has not died, like Paul, who said, I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Anyone that is not able to say, I am crucified with Christ, has not started living. You see. So, that is what is being said to us in that Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 and so and other places. Presenting yourselves as living sacrifice. You must be dead to be equipped to begin to serve others. Serve God and serve our fellow human beings. Because a lot of things that we have as impediment is self, is pride, ego, and so on. But one of the things that we know around us here is that you see some of these big people inside here right now, you won't even know who is who. And these ministers of God are flying and fly out of this country. You won't even know them. They don't make noise. It's not like others that shout all over the place. And we thank God for them. These are people that we should imitate. As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget about these people who cause all kinds of scandals on social media. There are people within us. There are people among us and we know them. We know how they started. You know, these are the people God has placed before us. And God has kept them alive by God's grace. That we should listen to them. We should follow them. That is discipleship. In fact, again, if you permit me to talk about Dr. Obed. He said, disciple means following somebody, whether you like it or not. Even before Jesus, there were disciples of the Pharisees, disciples of John the Baptist, and so many other disciples. And today there are disciples, in other religions. When you talk of a guru has disciples, and so on. But we are disciples of Christ. He has underlined that. So, who is Christ? What do we know about Christ? How are we following Christ? Even though we should live the life so that we are living epistles, but let us know that we are disciples of Christ first and foremost. And if you don't know Christ, you read the Bible. And that is why he said that there are two main things for us to note when we are talking about this great commission. One is to make people to know Jesus, and secondly, let us help them to love Jesus. You see, if they know Jesus, salvation takes place. If they love Jesus, they will be obeying Jesus. Those who love me will obey my commandment. Sanctification is following. Progressive sanctification. And if they love Jesus, they will carry out this great commission service will follow. Can somebody clap for Jesus? I want you to clap for Jesus. Amen. And finally, we preach the gospel. We prepare people in every possible way. There are so many things in that. Then we position them. Because when leaders are afraid of people taking over from them, then that person is not a leader. I love what Pastor Grace Obi Johnson wrote in one of the little booklets on leadership. You know, leaders raise up leaders. You'll be happy that these people are coming up. You know. So positioning them and equipping them. And finally pointing them to the climax of all things. And that is the return of Jesus Christ. People like Charles Finney and all those who preach gospel, you talk of revival in those days. They were always talking about the coming of Jesus Christ in connection with holiness, in connection with the urgency of the mission, and so on. These things are tied together. As you talk of the return of Jesus Christ, people know that there's no time to waste anymore. People know that they must be ready. They must prepare. It's not like somebody there in the West that was taking 300 and something thousand from people to prepare them to go for rapture. Did you people hear that one? You see, people are so foolish. People are so foolish. People are so confused. Somebody may even go and borrow 300 or something thousand. And you go to be camped somewhere. You say you are waiting for the Lord. You see, ignorance. People are hypnotized. Hypnotism. Don't think that some of them have their right mind. But if you're a child of God, no person can do that to you. You cannot be mesmerized. No enchantment can come upon you. Yes. You know the truth. And the truth will set you free from all these charlatans all over the place. Pointing them to this. So, please, we minister to people, meet them at the points of their needs. You say, heal the sick, and all those things. Is there a mass gospel where we read and lay hands on them and all those things? But the gospel is not man-centered. We must be relevant to the people, but the gospel is God-centered, not man-centered. Once we lose the sight of heaven, we have lost everything. So, the Great Commission is our priority. And it's only through love which we have received from Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. That love is agape love. That love gives and gives and gives. Gives time. Gives time for prayer. Gives time for mission. Gives money for everything. That love gives. That love goes wherever it's called. That love has no room for murmuring and backbiting and envy and jealousy. That love is what Paul said. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That is that love that he met on Damascus Road. He was able to say, I am not ashamed to preach the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That's why he was able to say, the love of God compels us. You know, there are so many things about it. And when some of our sisters came here and was talking about fire, they came, at the retreat and so on. You know, my prayer is that that fire will fall upon all of us. God's love that begin to burn in us. The type that Jeremiah experienced. And he says that it's like fire in his bones and he could not withhold it. Shall we stand to pray? Remember that is the fire of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no mission. The Holy Spirit is the leader of the mission. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Just talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. Lord, I pray that you fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. I need a fresh unction. Without you, I can do nothing. I can do nothing, virtually nothing. As we talk of the priority of the Great Commission, in the context of acceptable sacrifice and service, in the context of the CMF stands given today, take over my life again. Fill me with your Spirit again. I need you, I need you, I need you. The fresh manna from heaven, the one of yesterday, is not enough. It's not good for today. Touch me one more time, O God, touch me one more time. Breathe upon me the breath of life and fill me with life anew. Pray that prayer. Pray, talk to God. God is here to do a new thing. Going to do a new thing through CMF. Going to do a new thing through every one of us. Our country is in dire need. Politics cannot save us. It's not a matter of economic solution. The matter is basically spiritual. Let it rain. Oh God.
Can we talk to God? Let's ask for fresh grace. The grace that has kept a ministry like CMF for 40 years. The grace that has kept our fathers. Today they can speak to us from the depths of the grace that has kept them. Let's pray for that grace all over again, that each and every one of us will make the gospel our priority. That will make the gospel our priority. We are told this morning that if in all that we do, if we cannot connect, if all that we do cannot connect with the gospel, then that is a purposeless life. That's a life that is not fulfilling God's purpose. Can we talk to him as we ask him for his grace, that everything we do, whether we be teachers in our schools, whether we be civil servants, whether we be market traders, wherever we find ourselves, we will begin to see it as opportunity to make Christ known. Let's pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll make Christ known. We'll make Christ seen. We'll bring his love to bear. The love that gives, the love that goes, the love that cannot keep quiet. Let's pray for the boldness and the courage of the Holy Spirit. Christians are not supposed to be timid. I hope you heard that this morning. Can we talk to God? That the Spirit of God will descend upon his church all over again. Descend upon you and myself. And take away this timidity by which you have compromised the faith so clearly in our generation. Let's pray. Let's ask God in our response this morning. The message is clear. for us to run with. Let's pray that the Lord deliver us from timidity, this inability to speak the truth, inability to stand by the truth, inability to proclaim the truth, inability to stand for Christ because of what we eat, because of what we drink, and because of what we will cover our body with. Let's ask God for fresh grace to stand for Him in the name of Jesus Christ. Please pray. Let us pray to God. Let's ask Him. The help that this nation needs is not going to be found with unbelievers. It's not going to be found with them that have sold their souls to the devil. The help that our country needs can only be found with them who profess Christ, who has the wisdom of God, who has the knowledge of the Most High, who are led by the Spirit of grace. You and myself who have been called from Zion, that we may reveal the glorious gospel in our time. Let's pray that the Spirit by which CMF, by which CM, by which this great ministry moved into the office 40 years ago, that Spirit will be rekindled today in our lives, in our youth, in our men, our women, in every one of us. And the Spirit will come alive again, once again, like we sang in that song. Lord, visit us once again with confidence, with courage to speak your truth without looking back. In pro capacete mozandaya, lempo santoling gramaskendelia. Oh Jesus, help us. Send upon us fresh fire. Bring upon us fresh grace. All around us are thick darkness, as has been prophesied. But the prophet Isaiah said, upon us shall come the light of God. We will arise and we will shine. And we show forth the glory of the Lord, even in the midst of thick darkness. Shall we pray that the Lord will enable us to bring forth His light in our various domain of influence, in the name of Jesus Christ. We will be light carriers. We will be light bearers. We will be truth speakers, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of us, showing for the light of the glorious gospel. Lento poskete lea ye kabashente ketu. Okay. I will take one first. Pro kapaskende mosontolea. Can we make this song of commitment to the Lord? Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Be thou forever near me, my father, my friend. I shall not fear the battle, for thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway, if thou be my guide. Electronic team, if you can have that song. Oh Jesus, I promise to serve you to the end. Thank you. Can we take it as a response? As a commitment to the Lord. Oh, be God. Today, evidences of your faithfulness and of your power and of your grace. And thank you also for speaking to us, sharpening our sword that has become so dull, that we may wake up once again and give priority to your gospel. We pray, O Lord, our Redeemer, that you pour forth upon us as your children, as your servants, as an assembly, and as representatives of the body of Christ in Nigeria. That you pour upon us once again, Lord, grace to return to what you have called us to become. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We celebrate your faithfulness this number of years as the evidence of what you are able to do. Because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us, O God, that as we reflect on all that you have taught us this morning, none of us will return back to our weakness and weariness. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we will put our hands upon the plow once again and run errand for you. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you for our daddy, your servant. Indeed, your word is fulfilled in our sight when you said in your word that even the old age, they will yet be fruitful and be flourishing. And thank you, God, because we see that today. And we trust you for fresh grace still in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Can we put our hands together?